Well, we're continuing in our series in worship where we're just talking about worship and what it is and what it's kind of not. And I don't know about you, but it's been freeing for me just to kind of put it out there on the table, just to say that we're all worshipers. Every one of us that are here, we're designed to worship, and we worship something or somebody. And worship, I've also really tried to make it really clear, worship is not about songs. Worship is about our hearts. And what our hearts are engaged in. And if our hearts aren't engaged in God and His truths, and we're not trying to live His truths out in our life, then it's hard for us to actually worship Him. And what's so unique about worship is God says, I want you, my creation, to worship me. It's an invitation to take part in praising and bringing Him glory. He doesn't just kind of want us to just kind of walk through life and ignore Him, but He wants our attention solely on Him and focused on Him. But the problem is that we've discovered, and I know I discovered, is that we're busy people. We have lots of distractions. We have lots of things to put our attention on, don't we? And it's hard to remain focused on God. It's hard to keep Him on the throne quite often. But God has just been pleading with us and pleading with His people all throughout history just to say, hey, I want your heart. I want you focused on me, and I want to be the center of your attention. Man, I want your worship. And some of you say, well, I'm not really a worshiper because I don't like music. And that's a small thing that we do. Worship is simply defined as it's anything that you put your attention, your affection, your desire, your time into. Something that you've placed and you say that this has great value. And if that's above God, then God says, hey, you got the object of your worship wrong. I desire that. I want that. You know, last week, or a couple weeks ago, I might have said something about this Michigan, you know, Wolverine game and kind of poking fun. But, you know, I've been just overwhelmed over the last several weeks. I keep hearing people when I'm sitting in restaurants talking about the Michigan State game. Can I just say, give it a rest? I mean, why are they so focused on that? It's like you would think that this game was life and death. And it really mattered in our lives personally, and it's going to make us better if they would have won or if they wouldn't have won. I mean, it's just like our attention is so focused on these silly things, and our the object of our worship is man-made. Instead of being made on God, and it's consuming people. So I decided, well, what am I going to do? I'm just going to kind of take a look at some of the pictures because, I'll be honest, I really didn't watch the game. Oh, I know, I disappointed some of you guys, didn't I? I really don't care who won. I really don't. I mean, if I was playing, then I would care because I would want to win. But sports teams, that type of stuff has really never given my heart a pull in one direction or another. But I started to kind of look into it and kind of get through these pictures, and I came across this picture here. Whoops, no, you can go back to the last one. That last picture, most of you know that last picture is a picture of Michigan Stadium or the big old house. They say that stadium seats 110,000 people. I mean, what do you think the predominant attitude is in there? First service said claustrophobic. Don't you think that the predominant attitude going on in there is worship? It really is. Their hearts are fully focused on what's going on the field. And in fact, they're so focused, and their attention is so focused that sometimes they just jump up and with shouts of joy and shouts of excitement, hands raised, and they just do all kinds of crazy things. What's the predominant color that's going on in there? Look at the next picture. What's the predominant color? Yellow, right? Actually, Jim corrected me. Maize, yes. So it's maize. So it's they said that if you take a helicopter and fly over the stadium, that's all you see is like a sea of yellow maize, whatever color that is, goldish maize. That's all you can see for miles. And then they say that people come to these games and they hundreds of mile journeys just to get to this game. And then they get there and they got to park a mile and a half away, and then they file through the streets, and they're like just trying to run. And picture 110,000 people trying to get there. And you start looking around, and this guy's wearing yellow, that guy's wearing yellow, she's got yellow, that guy doesn't even have a shirt, and he's got something painted on him that's blue, and he's got a letter. And then you got all these things going on, and people don't look around, and they don't go, well, gee, I can't believe that they wore yellow to church this morning. I can't believe that they have the same outfit. I can't believe that they coordinated just like us. But they go in there, unified, with one thought on their brain. worship. You know what's going on in the Michigan Stadium right there? The worship of yellow. Actually, it's the worship of the Michigan Wolverines. And I'm just saying, and I said it before, I just think it's sad that people gather together in a football stadium and can just, with reckless abandon, worship a team and glorify a team and get so excited about a team, but yet we come in here and we just kind of go, oh, it's worship time, let's be quiet, let's not do anything, let's not even get excited. I mean, after all, we just said that God's there no matter what we're going through. I mean, that's an amen, right? I mean, we just come into church and we just kind of go through the motion. But you go to Michigan Stadium, there's something going on there. It's a little excited. There's an electric energy going on because the people are unified and their focus is on one thing. You know, and when they're gathered together, they sing just like we do. They sing a hymn. It's kind of a strange hymn. But it's a very exciting hymn if you like Michigan. It's very long, but it says they gather together in all their dress and all their focus. The Michigan team comes out on the field, and all of a sudden the band starts a playing, and they start to sing. Now for a cheer, they are here, triumph. Here they come with banners flying. In stalwart step, they're nighing. With shouts of victory crying, we hurrah, hurrah, we greet you now, hail. Far we their praises sing, for the glory and the fame they brought us. Loud let the bells them ring, for here they come with banners flying. Far we their praises tell, for the glory and the fame they brought us. Loud let the bells them ring, for here they come with banners flying. Here they come, hurrah. And everybody knows this part. Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the best. Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the champions of the West. We cheer them again. We cheer them and cheer again. For Michigan, we cheer for Michigan. We cheer with might and main. We cheer, 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 with might and main we cheer. Hail to the victories, victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail, Michigan, the champions of the West. Amen, I got out of that, yeah. But I mean, just in a thunderous roar. I mean, if you've ever seen these people at a game, and I've never been to one, but Jim tells me that they're just electric. Jim tells me that they go there and they don't sit the whole time. And they pay $65 to upwards of $1,000 for a seat and they don't even sit in it. I mean, and they're jumping, they're shouting the whole time, and they memorized a song like that. Which when I read it, I'm thinking, I don't even know what it means. But I just think that when we come together in worship, that maybe we could get a little more excited. That maybe our hearts could get a little more involved in what we're singing. Because it's easy for us just to go through these songs. And as we go through these songs, not even really hear what they have to say. And our hearts never really connect with them. Our hearts don't connect with the words, and therefore we don't get excited. We don't do what fans do at a football game. I mean, I came across this picture, and I thought, these guys are nuts. I mean, they paint letters on them, and they get all nice and blue, and they don't wear their shirts, which some of them need to have their shirts on. But they're not ashamed. They don't care. And you know what I really love when you see these pictures and these guys are out of order, and you know it says like Michigan or something like that. It shows you that maybe Michigan may not be the greatest university because they can't spell, but it just happens. But they don't really care. They're just going. They're focused on what's going on the field. And when all of a sudden something exciting happens, they erupt. I mean, you got guys there with both hands up, with their fists closed. You got a guy with a number ones up, both one number ones up. You got people folding their hands. You got people just screaming and shouting. I'm just saying, that's all for a football team. What about a glorious God? What about a majestic God? What about a God that's love never ends? What about a God that has given his son up for you? Doesn't he deserve a little bit more? Doesn't he deserve all of our hearts? And every part of our being? Because what you see happening here is their hearts are focused on one thing. What's happening in the field? And then as their hearts are so focused, all of a sudden when something happens, they just respond outwardly. It just kind of erupts in them when they see it happen. It's not a planned thing. So what am I proposing? I'm not proposing anything. I'm just saying, don't you think that we should get a little more excited about God? Don't you think when we gather here together that we should be willing just to let go of what our heart connection is with God and just go, okay, God, this is how I feel about you. And I'm just saying that I don't want the Michigan Wolverine fans, Michigan State fans, to outdo us in worship. Because we're worshiping a God that is worthy of our worship. And he's the only one that's worthy of worship. So when I think of this stadium that's full of people, I just think, wow. Could you imagine what that would be like if we got to the point where our hearts were so connected to God? This morning I'm just going to talk about posture. And you're like, what? Posture in worship. Yeah. There's posture in worship. The first one that we'll talk about is a heart posture. And that's the one that matters the most. And then we're also going to talk about a physical posture. And you're like going, Kelly, you're scaring me. I mean, first of all, you guys know me better than that. You know that I'm not going to stand up here and at the end of the service go, okay, everybody right now, join hands together, raise your hands all together across the aisle. You know I'm not going to do that. What am I asking? I'm asking you to evaluate your heart and what your focus is on. You know, the psalmists say there's a posture that they take when all of a sudden there's a heart connection with God. And their posture, their heart is so focused on who God is and what he has done for us that these postures come out naturally in people that are worshiping. Listen to some of the postures that the psalmist, and these are if you're looking for biblical postures, these are biblical postures because they're found in the Bible. And they just happen to be physical. We don't like them, but they happen to be there. The psalmist says to kneel down before God. I mean, just imagine on a Sunday morning that we actually just come in here and we kneel down before God because our heart's connected with what he's done, that he's given up his son to forgive my sins and so I can have a relationship with him. He's shed his blood's own son so we can be set free from the bondage that we're in. And then we just come in here and we're just on our knees. I mean, that would be different, wouldn't it? But that's because our hearts got connected with what God's doing and what he's done. And then we can't help but these things to happen in us. But just like on the football team, it's like, bam, it's like all of a sudden everybody erupts. And it's not because it was planned. It was because their heart was connected. And then the psalmist goes on, and another one says, bow down before him. Well, kneeling down and bowing down, aren't they the same? No. Bowing down is complete face down on the ground to the lowest low that you can get before God. Quite often the psalmist started realizing, and quite often the people throughout the Bible started to realize how holy and how righteous God was. And when they were in his presence and they were in the presence of his light, they could not help but just bow face down. Yeah, that might make it a little hard for it in here, but I'm not talking just physically doing this. I'm talking about right inside here. That we're getting to the lowest of lows where we're just bowing our hearts to him. And they said that they fall prostrate before God. I mean, these are amazing things that they say. They said that they're to just stand in awe of God. I mean, I think when we sing some of these songs, that as we sing them, I just think it's kind of right at the end of them, like Andrew did in the one, and he didn't know I was planning on talking about awe. That we just have a moment where we're just standing, no music, no words, but we're just in awe. And we're just in our own heart, in our own way. And you can raise your hands, you can do it silently, you can have your hands on your thighs, you can have them in your pockets, you can be sitting down in the chair. But I'm just talking about that we're just standing there in awe in our hearts going, God, you are marvelous. God, you are mighty. You are holy. You are my King. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. I mean, that we're just having those moments because it's just kind of natural because we hear what that song says, and if our heart is postured right, something happens inside of us, and physically actually it follows because they go hand in hand. Our heart and our physical, they match. And if they don't, there's a problem. And then this another psalmist says, be still. I mean, I just think there's times where we just need to come in together and we're just still. We don't expect anything. There's no the pastor's not yakking away up here. The praise team's not just playing, but we're just still. We're just waiting on God to do something. Because the psalmist, quite often, they waited on God and they were still. And they knew that God was going to show up and God was going to arrive. Another psalmist says, clap your hands. Woo! Ooh, Kelly, you're scaring me. You want me to clap these? I mean, I can't sing and clap at the same time. Oh, I can't either. So I choose one or the other. But, I mean, just imagine that at the stadium, something happens. Their heart responds to something that just happened on the field. A field goal went through the uprights to pull their team ahead. What do? Yes, yes, they're excited. And they start clapping their hands and they're expressing physically what's going on inside of their heart. Just kind of naturally happens. The psalmist says, shout. I'm just saying, sometimes when we hear some of these words, it's okay to shout, isn't it? It's okay to say, amen. It's okay to say, hallelujah. It's okay to say, glory to God. While we're singing, maybe when I'm speaking, you can say amen, but not full conversations, because I get lost, okay? So, but it should be a place where we expect shouting to happen occasionally. Because if somebody just connected with God in the heart level, and they heard those words and they said, I don't care who's around me, I just care about the one I'm worshiping. Because do you think those Michigan fans care about who's standing around them? I don't think they care one bit. They don't care if they're not a fashion statement or not. All they care about is that they're worshiping their team. How about us when we come here? How about we just feel free to express what's going on the inside here? I'm not talking weird stuff, so don't get me wrong. I'm just talking about when God says in your heart of hearts to lift your hands, lift your hands. When God says clap, clap. When God says just stand there in awe, just stand there in awe. Just start to marvel at him again and give him the glory and the praise that he's due. Not what Michigan, what did Michigan, their fight song, what did that say in there? It said that something about that there's banners raised and that there's a praise to tell for the glory and the fame. How about we put that on God? How about we start saying, you are worthy of the glory and the fame and the renown in this world, in our lives. And we show it. And we're not afraid of it. Okay, I told you there's two postures that we wanted to talk about. I know I got you really nervous, don't I? Again, do not take this out of context. I am not asking you to do anything except to respond to God in whatever way he's asked you to respond. And don't worry about what people think. You have the freedom to do that. But it says this in Matthew when we're talking about the Matthew chapter 15, when we're talking about our heart's position and how it's poised. Our heart has to be engaged with God, and all of a sudden God talks about it, and we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, and then Jesus talks about it here in Matthew. And it's a tough challenge, and it's a challenge that every one of us should do every single day, that we take a moment and we just kind of actually analyze, reflect, and say, what is going on in here, and what is my focus? Does my lifestyle match up with what I profess? And that's what Jesus is saying here. And he says in chapter 15, verse 8, he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know who he's talking to? Religious people. He'd come in here and he'd be talking to us Christians, people who believe. He says, quite often, what you profess with your mouth and your lips, that you say I'm glorious, you say I'm holy, you just sang some incredible songs, you know, talking about the power of Jesus' name. I mean, you're talking about that stuff and you're professing that stuff, but there's a problem. Your hearts, they're far away from me. And if our hearts are far away from Him, we can't connect with God. We can't see Him changing our life. We can't see Him moving. We can't feel Him. In fact, worship becomes very dull, boring, and drab when our heart is not connected to God. And Jesus says, it's important. We've got to evaluate it all the time, our heart. Because you know what matters the most to God is our heart's position. The position of our heart matters the most. And He's looking at everyone's heart and He says, I'm desiring people who worship me in truth and in spirit. That means that their lifestyle and their words line up with what they say and do. That's worship. And He says, I'm desiring that. So evaluate. Look at what's going on in your life. Did you worship me this week? Did you worship me through your job? Did you worship me through your school? Did you worship me through your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Did you worship me in obeying your parents? I mean, just evaluate. He says, I want you to make sure that your lips aren't far from your heart. So then it goes on. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. In other words, he's talking about religion, isn't he? He says, people are just going through the motions. I don't want Sunday morning to be a motion, do you? I don't want to, when we gather together, just to be in vain. That our hearts aren't connected with God. That we're not really truly worshiping Him from the inside out. That we're just kind of, God goes, nice words, but you missed it. Almost got it. Isaiah said a very similar thing to this. And this is what Jesus is actually quoting are the words from Isaiah. But Isaiah expands on it a little bit. He says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. And there's a problem, and our hearts are far from Him. So their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. I like one version said it this way. Their worship of me is like vain repetition. They're just going through the motions. He's talking about religion. He's talking about traditions. He's talking about the things that just, we think that these are honoring to God, but we just do them because we do them. We just go to church to go to church because that's what we do on Sunday. God says, I don't want you just to come to church just to go to church. It's a good place to be. But I want you to come here with your heart right with me. With your heart positioned so that way I can see how much you love me by what you're saying and what you're doing. And God says that's what He desires the most out of all the scriptures. If you look through all the scriptures, He wants our heart. And He wants our heart to be worshiping Him. He wants to be on the throne and Him only. So when we start worshiping a car, we start worshiping a house, we start worshiping people, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, we start worshiping all these things, God goes, no. Your object's wrong. Me. When you come in here and your heart's over here, you're just going through the motions. And I'm just going to tell you, worship is dry, boring, and you don't sense the presence of God because your heart wasn't connected with Him before you got here. And God says, this is what I desire, a complete life. And in Isaiah, he goes on, and I love what God kind of does here, is God kind of says, because your hearts are so far away, I love you so much. I want you with me. I want you to be worshiping me. So I'm going to do something. Look at what verse 14 he says. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. Isn't that beautiful? And it's not enough that He's God. It's not enough that He's a creator of the universe, but I'm going to give Him even more because I want their worship. And I care about their worship, so I'm going to do this. And then he says, these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intellectual will vanish. I mean, isn't that staggering? God says, I'm going to do something so amazing that nobody can even explain this. So God, because of his grace and his mercy, sends his son into the world to die an excruciating death so you and I can have the forgiveness of sins. And he gives us grace which we do not deserve. I mean, that's astounding. That's a wonder beyond wonder. It says that even the angels in heaven are looking in at that and going, whoa. Just like the Michigan fans, they're going, whoa, incredible moment. The angels are going, whoa, God. That's amazing. We can't figure it out with our intellect nor our wisdom because it doesn't make sense what God did. Other than we can see his great love and his great mercy on display. And him desiring a relationship with you where your heart is focused solely on him. And then in Isaiah verse 15 says this, if we don't want to do this, there's a woe. Woe to those who go to great depths inside their plans from to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like clay. So what does form say to him who formed it? He did not make me. Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? God says, you think you can go your life all week long living in sin, choosing to go against my word, choosing to try to hide the deception, the stealing that you're doing, maybe the drunkenness that you're having going on in your life, or maybe it's how you abuse your family, whether it's physically, maybe verbally. You think you could hide all these things, all that gossip, that lying, the deception that you do? You think you can hide all those things and then come in here and worship? God goes, I just want you to be real. I just want you to say, this is what I did this week. God, I'm sorry. God, I need your grace again. I need your mercy. I know you've seen all this. And God goes, that's somebody that's worshiping in spirit and in truth. Because they're doing an evaluation of the heart. And the posturing of the heart is so vital to God. He talks about it in Proverbs. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Why does he say to guard our heart? I mean, we usually use this verse for little kids or young ladies who are starting to date. We want them to guard their heart because we don't want them giving their heart away to lots of guys because emotionally you get confused when you do that. But this is bigger. This is guarding our hearts to make sure that our hearts are focused on God. Because why does he say guard it? Because life is busy. Life has a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things to worship out there. And if we don't guard it, we're going to get off. And our heart is going to be pulled away from God. And our heart posture is not going to be a posture of worshiping God. It's going to be a posture of just following every whim and everything that's out there. And he says, I want you to guard your heart. Why? Because because it is the wellspring of life. In other words, what's going on in here is what's going to come out. If you have a heart that is bent towards God, a heart where you're saying, you're my all in all, I give everything of you, I surrender to you, God, and you're doing that daily, and you're constantly trying to in your walk, surrender more and more of you, and learn more and more about God every single day, and you're doing that, you know what's going to flow out of you? God. But if you've got all kinds of sick things going on, and I'm just calling them sick things because they're sin, and that's your heart's focus, or if Michigan Wolverines is your heart focus, you know what's going to be poured out of you? Michigan Wolverines. I mean, you see it in the stadium, don't you? It's all over their bodies. It's all over what they're wearing. It's on wigs. They become what's in the heart. God says, guard your heart. I want your heart. I want to be there. I deserve to be there. I want to take up residence there and stay there forever. So as we come together, what am I saying? What do I want? I want us to really evaluate our hearts before we worship. Make confessions to God where you need to confess. But I want you to think about the words that we sing. And as as our heart is postured right, that all of a sudden that overwhelms us to the point where we're just worshiping free. God. When we sing a song like Take My Life, and I'm blessed to have a wife that has a beautiful voice, and when we were doing youth ministry, this was her kind of theme song, I think, for a while. And she would just kind of play it at home, and I would just get to hear her sing this. And we've sung it in church, and it says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands, let them move at an impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with the messages from thee. Take my silver, take my gold, not a mite would I hold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will, make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet. Thy feet is a treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee." I'm just saying, when we sing songs like that, that we just don't utter them from our mouths without really meaning it. Because when I hear those words, the Holy Spirit starts to convict me and say, "Do you really mean that? Do you really mean you want my life dedicated to you, God? Do you really mean that you want all your days to be glorifying to me? Do you really mean that you want me to take your feet and your hands and use them for my glory and take your silver and your gold for all for me? Do you really, really mean that, Kelly?" And as we sing those things, let's ask ourselves, do we mean it? And as we mean it, then our heart starts to posture in a position where all of a sudden something happens. All of a sudden, there's an outward expression that happens. Outward expression is because of all of a sudden we're saying, "I am thine alone. Take all of me. Here I am. God, I mean it. Forever, every day, I'm choosing you. And I'm going to go to this day after day after day after day. And I'm going to say that prayer day after day after day because I got to remind myself." Then we come in here and we just start to worship. You know what's going to happen? It's going to explode. The big house is not going to have anything on us. The foundation of the earth will shake once our hearts are in the proper position. And we're worshiping and we mean it. So what am I asking you to do? I'm not asking you to clap. I'm not asking you to jump up and down. I'm not asking you to shout. I'm just asking you to evaluate your heart. When I saw this picture right here, I started looking at it and I'm like going, what is so beautiful about this is that the nation of Michigan, Wolverines, their worship transcends all generations. Do you know that? See up in the up here? See, there's an older gentleman up here. He's got kind of this outward praise going on, doesn't he? And then you have this nice young lady down here, just younger, reverent praise. And you look at this guy, you know, he's up here, he's, you're number one. This guy's like, yeah, you guys are awesome. And I start looking at this and I keep seeing, oh, there's another older person here, there's another older person here, another older person, there's an older person here, an older person here, and there's younger people all through here. And I'm thinking, isn't that the worship of God? That when we come in here and our focus is based on Him, all of a sudden we start to engage, and it doesn't matter what generation we come from. It doesn't matter what background we come from, because I keep hearing this in church. I don't like it when people raise their hands. I don't like people when they dance or they clap and they do this. I don't like any of that stuff because I'm uncomfortable with it because of I didn't grow up in a church like that. Do you think these people grew up in the same household? Do you think that these people have the same backgrounds? Absolutely not. But you know what's got their focus? Michigan. You know what should have our focus? God. All of it. And we should be okay with outward praise, shouldn't we? We should be excited. We should not let the Michigan Wolverines outdo us. We should not let rocks, which Jesus said if he would silence the people, that the rocks would cry out in praise. We've been silent too long. We got to cry out in praise. There's got to be and then what happens when our heart is so focused and poised and worshiping God, something else happens. This outward thing happens, and it happens in the all throughout Scripture. There's a time in Nehemiah chapter 6 that the people were just getting together and they're rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. And they had lost God's word. And people haven't heard it for a long time, and they found it. And the priest Ezra, he gets up and he opens up the Bible, and it says in the Scripture that he opened up the Bible and read from it from sunrise till noon. Could you imagine me doing that here? You guys can't even take it if I go 10, 15 minutes over. But if I just open up the Bible and we just start reading. He started reading. And the place began to erupt. Because their hearts were so desperate for God and His Word, and that their hearts were poised to receive Him. And as they were receiving Him, they started to erupt. And it tells us in verse 6, it says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen. And notice exclamation point, Amen, exclamation point. I mean, that's loud. That's a thunderous shout. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And that's all. They were just reading God's word. It wasn't a great presenter coming up and whooping people into a frenzy. It's just the love that they had for God's word. And they started going, oh God, you're marvelous, you're mighty, you're awesome. They lifted their hands and they fell face down in worship. Because their hearts were positioned right. The psalmist David writes in Psalm 134 verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. I mean, just lift your hands in the sanctuary. I mean, they, in that Michigan photo, they were lifting their hands up in their sanctuary, weren't they? They were full on, fully worshiping with every part of their being. And that's what David is saying. In the sanctuary, in the house of the Lord, raise your hands in praise of the Lord. And it's honoring to God. It's just a natural thing that happens when the heart was positioned in the right position. And then the psalmist says in chapter 63, or verse, I'm sorry, Psalm 63, verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to praise your name. I'm not going to praise my boyfriend's name. I'm not going to praise a sports star's name. I'm not going to praise my job. I'm not going to praise this thing. But I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to worship you. I just can't help but lifting my hands because I'm worshiping you. And then he goes, in the Psalm 63, verse 5 says, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing on my lips, and my mouth will praise you. I mean, the psalmist is going, I'm just bursting forth in praise, and I can't help but lift my hands. And when I'm doing that, when I'm praising from the heart, and I'm not talking about necessarily this kind of a gesture, I'm talking about this heart gesture opened up, all of a sudden, the soul begins to worship. And the soul is satisfied when we're praising God. And then there's this image that I came across. I just have to keep going back to this image because I just think that should be the church. Not Michigan fans. And for you Michigan State fans, I have found this one. I mean, isn't that awesome? A whole stadium lifting their hands, praising their team in support of their team. Did you know that football teams are so charismatic? I mean, they are. The fans are just so excited. They can't wait just to lift their hands for the glory of the team. It makes no sense to me when I think about the glory of God and the love of God. And then we gather together and we say, we can't do anything. We stifle God. We stifle His Spirit. So go back to the next one. Next picture there again. Can you imagine being that free in worship? Can you imagine just letting go and not worrying about what anybody thinks about around you? And again, don't hear this. I'm not telling you how to worship. Because we should respect all kinds of worship. If somebody's raising their hands, don't say anything negative about it. Big deal. If somebody's standing there quiet and worshiping, don't criticize them. Don't say they're not worshiping because they're worshiping if it's in the heart. You see, it takes all different styles, and you can see all the different styles in a picture like that. But everybody here in this picture is focused on what's going on the field, and they're responding. And if we come here focused on God in the heart, can you imagine what our responses will be? And how glorifying it will be to God? Now, these are Yahoo moments that I'm talking about, right? So far, you got a sports team, Yahoo. But do you know that there's moments where they're not Yahoo moments throughout Scripture where people are raising their hand in praise? Listen to what it says in Psalm 28. It says, "Hear my cry for mercy." What happened? Something tragic happened. It says, "Hear my cry for mercy. As I call to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your most holy place, God, I'm just crying out for mercy. God, I'm just pleading with you to show up and arrive and to heal this broken heart." And they got their arms lifted high. And then in Psalm 141:2, it says, may my prayer be set before you like an incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like a sacrifice, an evening sacrifice. It's like, you know, the psalmist is just going, when I lift my hands, may it just be like a sacrifice to you, God. May it be glorifying. May it be a beautiful incense, even though I'm hurting, even though I'm overwhelmed. Psalm 88:9 says, my eyes are dim with grief. I mean, this is a tragedy moment, right? Look what he says. I call out to you, O Lord. Every day, I spread out my hands to you. It's an act of worship when our hearts are focused on God, even in the darkest hours. In the darkest hours, we want to give up. In the darkest hours, we think that God is not worthy of praise. But in those hours, our heart has to be so focused on God that we just lift up and praise and go, God, I know who you are. I know what you've done. And then in Psalm 143, verse 6, it says, I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. And then Lamentations says, arise, cry out in the night as the watch of the night begins. Pour out your heart like the water into the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. God, I need your help. God, I just need you. God, I need your protection on my children. I need you to provide for us. I mean, it's just an act of praise, even when we're hurting. And I love how Timothy pushed this challenge out. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Isn't that beautiful? So I want you people to worship without anger and without disputing. God says, I'm looking for people whose heart is focused on me, and they're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And when we worship in spirit and truth, God shows up. And we're unified as a body, not a style, not a song, not a music, but we're unified in who God is. So what's the application? Simply this. I'm not asking you to do anything, so don't hear that. But I'm asking you to do this. Will you evaluate your heart? Will you just take a look at how you're living? And is your life really living fully on for God? Does your life look like a Michigan football fan when in expressions to God? The way that you live, the way that you talk, the way that you breathe, the way that you do your resources, the way that you do everything, does it look like you are a fan of God, the sold-out fan? Or does it look like you're a fan of you or a fan of this world? Just evaluate your heart. That's all we're asking out of this series, because worship is this. Worship is about a heart that is surrendered full on for God, and the life that is filled with expressions of his glory to him. Whether it's lifting up of hands, whether it's sitting here with your hands closed, whether it's just standing out, it doesn't matter. So just take time and evaluate your heart. And let's really worship. When we hear the song and the words, let's say it and mean it to God. Not just, that's good music. And if that's not you when you're singing the song, maybe you need to just take a moment and go, God, help me. Help this to be me. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we just thank you that you are a God who desires us. You're a God that desires our worship. You desire our attention. You desire us to be engaged with you full on. And God, I would ask that you would help us to rise up and be a people that is living counter to our culture, where we are making you the object of our life, that we are making you the object of our worship. And when we say things on our lips, it'll be from our heart. And when you receive those praises, you will be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.